You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this Victory Monday episode here on Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is a refreshment that you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. The Saints lock up the NFC South division with a huge day from their run game and Alvin Kamara. It is going to be a Kamara-heavy show today, and rightfully so, but we'll start off with the game all told, how the Saints got the win, what the win means for their playoff plans, and a big loss over on the defensive side. Then we'll get into the more granular numbers that give us context about just how impressive Alvin Kamara's performance actually was, before we close out the show with a recap of our three keys to victory from one of our shows last week, to see how and if they played a factor in Friday's big 52-33 victory in New Orleans. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host of the National Locked On NFL podcast. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The New Orleans Saints lock up the NFC South for the fourth season in a row on the heels of Alvin Kamara's historic six touchdown day. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So the Saints win this game against the Minnesota Vikings 52-33 at home, eliminating the Vikings from playoff contention and assuring themselves the division and no worse than the third seed in the NFC. And they do it all on the legs of Alvin Kamara, who scores six rushing touchdowns, an NFL record, the first player to do that since Ernie Nevers back in 1929, and it was 1929, so really, it hardly counts. Most points scored in a single game in the modern era as well, with 36, so if we stick with the modern era, Alvin Kamara holds this record, both of those records, all on his own. We'll break down the granular numbers that make the performance so remarkably impressive here in a moment, but first, we'll start off with an overlook at this game. Alvin Kamara, 22 carries, 155 yards, along with the six touchdowns. He's now just 68 yards away from his first career 1,000-yard season here in the NFL, and he now leads the NFL again with total scores at 21, which is also a Saints franchise record. Now, we'll get back to Alvin Kamara later in the show, but I want to hit some of the other guys around here that helped make this win happen. Taysom Hill also added a rushing touchdown in this one near the goal line. Some were concerned that that touchdown was going to steal away Alvin Kamara's chance from getting a sixth score, but alas, Drew Brees, Adam Trautman, and Sean Payton made sure that Alvin Kamara got another opportunity later on in the game that he would cash in on. The Saints, though, the first team to rush for seven touchdowns in a single game since 2004, based on looking at the modern era since the merger. Only four teams since 1970 have rushed for six or more touchdowns in the NFL, and the Saints have actually done it two out of those four times, because if you remember, they rushed for six touchdowns against Buffalo in 2017 and then had seven rushing touchdowns on Christmas Day against the Vikings. Drew Brees had a quote-unquote light day. He only threw 26 passes, did complete 19 of them, 311 yards, though zero touchdowns, but two interceptions in this one. We'll talk more about his performance throughout the week, but he does become the first NFL player with 80,000 career passing yards. Brees' first game since 2016 as well, with no touchdowns and two or more interceptions. The Saints were previously 1-10 in those games, now 2-10 with a 52-33 victory over the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going to just keep saying that because it feels good to say it. Interesting things to take a look at here. Most passes that were thrown from 11 to 20 yards all season for Drew Brees beyond the line of scrimmage. This was the first time that he completed and attempted more 11 to 20 yard passes than he did passes within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. He was 10 of 13 for 252 yards in that range out of his 311. So Saints and Brees being much more aggressive, and it'll be interesting to see if that persists moving forward through the season. Now, the Saints offense essentially was their best defense, forcing Minnesota to leave Dalvin Cook unused for much of the second half. The Vikings only ran 17 times in this game, six of which in the second half. The defense continued to struggle a bit in terms of containing the run game early, particularly over on the offensive left side. 67 of Dalvin Cook's 74, rushing yards came from wide left outside the tackle. So they made some adjustments there, got the safeties involved, more DBs involved, and linebackers over on that side, and then helped to shore that up. And then, of course, like I mentioned, only six rushing attempts in the second half for Minnesota. So not much of an opportunity to keep that production going. Some issues defending tight ends in the red zone. Again, two touchdowns for Irv Smith Jr., son of Irv Smith Sr., former New Orleans Saint, of course, including yet another play action Y leak in which Malcolm Jenkins just didn't get the depth that he needed to be able to take care of that play. So hopefully you start to see that clear up, much like they did earlier on in the season. No turnovers created by the Saints. However, the -2 turnover differential was the worst for the Saints so far this season. The Saints gave up 5 red zone touchdowns in this one, so 9 in the last 2 games, something to keep an eye out on. And the Saints allowing 12 scores off of 17 turnovers so far this season. That includes touchdowns and field goals. So want to see those things get tightened up a bit as the Saints go back into the playoffs here. And again, they lock up the NFC South 4th straight season. First NFC South team to do that, guarantee at least the number 3 seed, while the number 1 seed is indeed still alive. The Saints did get a win from Seattle on Sunday. Now they need another win by Seattle next week, and the Packers to at least lose to the Bears next week, no matter what. However, 2 Packers losses, wouldn't be mad at that. However, very unlikely, would still help the Saints. Currently, they have a matchup with the number 7 seed, which would be the Chicago Bears at the moment, but it could also be Arizona, depending upon next week's matchup. Now, the Saints had 2 players leave with injury in this game. Tight end Josh Hill, who left early with a hand injury after just 1 snap on offense and 1 on special teams. But Quan Alexander will actually miss the rest of the season and postseason with a torn Achilles, and that absolutely sucks. This is a massive loss for the Saints defense, and they'll now turn to Alex Anzalone for that nickel linebacker role. Obviously, he was a humongous benefit to them in the coverage game, working against those tight ends. Not a surprise to see the tight end issues come up after he left the game, although there were some early in the game as well. But regardless, we'll break down a little bit more about how the loss of Quan Alexander affects the defense in tomorrow's episode on Tuesday. But for now, the Saints are in position as they enter the playoffs as the number 2 seed in the NFC, and they are thanks to an incredible performance by Alvin Kamara. We'll break down the numbers granularly that show how remarkable this Christmas Day was, and review our 3 keys to victory from last week to see if they played any role at all in this Saints win. We'll have that coming up for you next year on Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And don't forget to go and check out our exclusive partners over at betonline.ag. I know I took home a little bit of cash over the weekend betting on the Saints. Yes, I did it. I did it. It's a cardinal rule. Some people don't do it. I did it this week and it ended up working out for me. So if you're ready for some football, you've got the college football bowl season already underway. The playoffs are right around the corner, and you still have an opportunity to bet on week 17 as well as the season wraps up. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that's betonline.ag. So sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all one word. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. Now, I'm not the best at math, but I believe that means that if you deposit $200, they will match $100 because it's 50%, that's half of that. So you'll walk in there with $300 with only $200 coming out of your pocket. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKED ON. You get that 50% welcome bonus for your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Houdini, so we all know that the holidays are for giving, and Alvin Kamara gave us all a gift with 6 rushing touchdowns and a clinched NFC South, but I'm going to also give you a hot tip to help earn you some extra cash. The new Locked On Bets podcast is hosted by Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and your boy Q of Locked On Raiders. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares the lock of the day on every episode. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so here's the deal. Alvin Kamara's record-breaking performance is even more impressive the further that you evaluate it. Now, 6 touchdowns is already incredible, right? Like we said, it's a modern-day NFL record, most since the merger in a single game, all of that. 22 carries, 155 yards. 6 scores. But there's more granular things that you can mine that show you really how incredible this game was. First of all, let's talk a little bit about his track record so far in terms of his career and where this game sits in terms of what he has done so far since he was drafted to the Saints in the 3rd round in 2017. So this is only his 3rd career 100-yard rushing game. He had 2 before that. His first one, this is his first one, since 2018. Most rushing yards in his career thus far with 155. Most rushing attempts in his career so far with 22. Both previous highs came in the New York Giants game, which is the last time that he rushed for over 100 yards, which is in 2018, where he had 19 carries for 134 yards. Did not have six touchdowns in that one, however. Now, Kamara, in this game, never touched the ball on a third down. Zero times. Now, the Saints didn't have a third down at all in the first quarter. They ended up going 5 of 9 on third down, also converting on a fourth down as well. But Alvin Kamara only touched the ball on first and second down. Of his 22 carries and 3 catches, so 25 total touches, 1 catch and 5 carries came on second down. All the rest of them came on first down. He was only targeted once on third down in the passing game, and that was the pass that fell incomplete in the end zone and what could have led to a 7-touchdown game, potentially, for Alvin Kamara. Now, Kamara scored on 50% of his red zone carries. He ran the ball 10 times in the red zone and walked away with 5 red zone rushing touchdowns as well. So 1 touchdown for every 2 red zone touches that he had. And of course, the 6 came first on the big 40-yard run to open up his humongous day. Now, Kamara also only played 45 snaps out of 73 total offensive snaps in this game. That's only 60%, or just around 60%, basically. That's 10% lower than his average snap percentage of 70.2% on the season so far, which means that he actually played a snap share that is 10% less in this game than his average. Yet, he still scored 6 touchdowns. That 60% snap percentage also means that he scored a touchdown every 7.5 snaps. Not touches, snaps. Just being on the field 8 times per score, basically. It's absolutely insane the amount of efficiency that he put in this game. And yes, Minnesota's defense was hurt. They had no linebackers, all that. That doesn't mean that any running back would have gone out there and had 6 rushing touchdowns, however, because the Saints, Alvin Kamara, and other great running backs in the NFL have played against depleted defenses and have not done what Alvin Kamara did on Christmas Day. It also means that he scored on 13.3% of the snaps that he played, which is stupid remarkable. Now, in comparison with other top backs, I love this question. This came from a fantastic Twitter follower, Annie, who's on Twitter at Yanny N Owl. I don't really know how to really break it down, but Yanny, Y-A-N-N-Y, N Owl. So Annie, if you hear this, thank you very much for your question. She wanted to know how this compared to other top backs across the NFL. So I look at Dalvin Cook. So far this season, he's averaging 71.1% of snaps played in his available games, which have only been 14 games. So it's right around the average of Alvin Kamara. 71.1% for Dalvin Cook, 70.2% for Alvin Kamara. However, Dalvin Cook includes 5 games of above 80% usage in those games. Alvin Kamara has 0 such games. He's got 3 that are less than 60% or 60% or less, and then he only has about a handful that are even above 70%. So the Saints have found a really nice sort of happy medium for him in terms of where he could be most effective and where you don't end up risking injury with him. Early on in the 2019 season, he had a couple of games where he was around 78%. He had one over 80% toward the end of the year. You saw some over 80% snap shares for him. You're not seeing that this season. The Saints are doing a really good job at balancing both health and efficiency for him. You can also look at another top back who is maybe the most comparable to Alvin Kamara in the NFL based on what he does. Christian McCaffrey, will be fair and go back to the 2019 season where he played a full year, 93.1% of snaps played throughout the season in 16 games, including 6 of them at 100%, another 2 at 99%, and another one at 98%. Alvin Kamara, nowhere near that type of usage in this game, or thankfully over the course of the season, the Saints doing a very, very good job balancing his play. Now, Kamara, in addition to having a historic day in terms of NFL numbers, also set himself, or at least put himself in position or in reaching distance of some Saints records as well. For instance, he climbed into 3rd on the number of rushing touchdowns on the list so far. Now, only 6 behind Deuce McAllister at number 2, who has 43 rushes. Alvin Kamara sitting right now with 37. He also reset his own record, which was a single season rushing touchdown record that he set a couple of years ago from 14 to 16. He now has 16 on the season, and he can extend that next week in Carolina. He reset the all-purpose touchdown record that he tied in 2018 with 18 total touchdowns. He now sits with 21, and he's just five receptions short of the most in a season by a Saints running back, currently held by Reggie Bush at 88. Kamara currently has 83, and Darren Sproles is second with 86. Kamara is also right now number one in the NFL for all-purpose rushing touchdowns, or excuse me, all-purpose touchdowns and scrimmage touchdowns as well with 21. Now, Kamara's performance was incredible on Christmas Day, even better doing it in his Christmas cleats, although he'll most assuredly be fined for those. But like you said, the Grinch always tries to steal Christmas. Kamara, though, only playing Grinch to the Minnesota Vikings because that win, of course, eliminates them from playoff contention. So sort of a revenge moment there for the Saints, although not entirely perfect, but we'll still take it. That is for certain. So next up, we'll take our attention off of Alvin Kamara just a little bit, take a look at the game as a whole and revisit our three keys to victory. Did they play any role in the Saints win 52-33 over the Minnesota Vikings? Drop that 50 burger, y'all. We got that coming up for you next year on Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And you know what? Look, Alvin Kamara, six touchdowns out there, 155 yards, career highs all over the place, records all over the place. You know Alvin Kamara had his Airheads, of course, but he also had his Built Bars. There's no doubt about it to me. He was out there in between plays, munching on the Built Bars, getting out there and getting it done. Built Bar, of course, the best tasting protein bar ever. I'm not even saying on the market. I'm not even saying in a store right now. I'm not even saying on this podcast. I'm saying ever, but also the best protein bar on this podcast because that's the only one that I mess with. They got 18 incredible flavors, including six brand new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. You can get 17, 18, 19 grams of protein, but only 3 or 4 or 5 grams of sugar and net carbs in the same bar. These things are absolutely incredible and they taste phenomenal. None of that chalky, gross, have to microwave it in order to power through it type flavor and consistency that you can get over the corner at the Piggly Wiggly down the street. No, no. You want to go to BuiltBar.com and get yourself an order of Built Bars. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. You won't regret it. All right, Huda Nation, don't forget that every Tuesday here on Locked On Saints is our Analytics Tuesday, where we dig as deep as possible into the previous matchup, and we have a lot to take away, of course, from this. Did I ever say it was a 52-33 victory against the Minnesota Vikings eliminated from playoff contention? Oh, I'm so happy. All right, but for real, don't forget to come back tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know we got you covered every single day of the week here at Locked On Saints. All right, for our final segment today, we knew what the Saints needed to do to get a dub on Christmas Day, and they did it. So let's review our keys to victory before we left on Christmas Eve. So our first key to victory was to confuse the offensive line. We talked about stunts, twists, blitzes, all of that. Wasn't sure how it was all going to work out without a Trey Hendrickson. And the fact of the matter, good stuff. Good stuff without Trey Hendrickson. They had some issues in the run game, but we've known for a long time Trey Hendrickson also has those same issues in the run game. But in terms of what they did to the offensive line, not just the sacks, but also the pressures, 14 total pressures in this game, 2 sacks. Ended up getting 2 sacks in this one. One of them was split by David Onyemata and Malcolm Jenkins. The other was a sack fumble by Cam Jordan. Both of these sacks started with 7 defenders at the line of scrimmage with a 3 defensive linemen front. So 3 down linemen, 2 linebackers, and 2 safeties in both of these instances. This was a big part of using personnel and using crowding at the line of scrimmage to confuse the offensive line. You get 7 people up against the line of scrimmage. They don't know who's coming and who's not. So on the Onyemata and Jenkins combined sack, all but the 2 linebackers rushed the passer, including both safeties, Malcolm Jenkins and CJ Gardner-Johnson. You ended up getting Malcolm Jenkins in range of that play. David Onyemata bullied his offensive lineman directly into Kirk Cousins. Malcolm Jenkins was there to help clean it up. On the Cam Jordan sack, Minnesota's right guard was expecting some pressure from DeMario Davis, who was kind of threatening the A-gap a bit. DeMario Davis ended up dropping back into coverage. The guard wasn't able to get squared up with Cam Jordan, who then ended up winning his one-on-one matchup with him. Both of the linebackers and Malcolm Jenkins, who's on the opposite side of the defensive line, ended up dropping back into coverage. CJGJ, however, ended up blitzing, and that allowed him to take up the attention of the right tackle, leaving Cam Jordan one-on-one with an unprepared guard. He ended up winning that matchup, getting to Kirk Cousins, and then getting the strip sack fumble there. It was not recovered by the Saints, but it was Cam Jordan's first forced fumble since 2018 against Dallas. 94 and a half career sacks for Cam Jordan now, 11 forced fumbles for the 2020 Pro Bowler. Several stunts and twists also allowed the Saints to gain pressure up the middle and get six additional hits on Kirk Cousins also. Now, our second key, so I would say that that key very much was hit and it worked, it delivered. The next one was limiting the big plays. We talked about 49, 20 plus yard plays by the Minnesota Vikings offense coming into this game. Justin Jefferson had 21 of those 49. Dalvin Cook also had 6 20-plus yard plays in the run game, 4 in the receiving game. And the Saints did pretty well here, despite not having Marcus Williams for this game, PJ Williams, and a little bit of DJ Swearinger handling some of those deep safety roles. They executed this pretty well. Only 3 plays allowed over 20 yards to the Vikings, a 21-yard pass to Adam Thielen, a 24-yard pass to Adam Thielen, one of those ending up in a just ridiculous tackle by Marshawn Lattimore as he was coming up off the turf. And then a 25-yard pass to Justin Jefferson, which was the only one of those 3 20-plus yard plays that ended up moving Minnesota into the red zone. The longest run that was allowed was Dalvin Cook, 15 yards in the first half. And then you got a steady job by PJ Williams, who allowed only 2 catches for just 27 yards. DJ Swearinger allowed 1 for 21, one of those big Adam Thielen catches. So not a bad day at all in that department. So again, that one was followed through, that one was hit, and it worked. The last one was be multiple on offense. We talked about how this team always builds around being multiple, doing everything, putting everything on full display as best you could with the cast that you have, get the passing game in rhythm, establishing the run, attacking through the air, and then hitting your balance. Well, they absolutely did that. And this absolutely was a huge part of why the Saints ended up winning this game. The Saints actually ran 73 total plays on offense, dominated in terms of time of possession, plays run, all of that. 45 of those were runs, 28 were passes. So that's a 61.6% run percentage against a 38.4% pass percentage. That's well above their usual split of 57 pass, 46 run. And that's just what happens when you get a nice lead early on in the game. They led this game for a total of 53 minutes and 35 seconds out of a 60-minute game. It took them just under 3 minutes to get the first lead at 7 points. Then it took Minnesota some time to tie that game, to tie it up. And then that point forward, the Saints jumped out to a 14-7 lead and then never looked back from that point. They had 7 total plays over 20 yards, including 3 over 40 yards. 2 of them were passes, as well as a big run, of course, by Alvin Kamara, his first touchdown. Taysom Hill, talk about being multiple, ran for a touchdown, completed 2 passes, and caught a pass. You had Emmanuel Sanders, who led the team in receiving yards, but also had a 12-yard run. And that run actually set up Alvin Kamara's first touchdown. If you look at the motion in that run, you saw Jared Cook going motion first, and then the jet sweep to Emmanuel Sanders to get him around the left edge. The very next play, they run the exact same motion with Jared Cook. And then instead of running the jet sweep to Emmanuel Sanders, they hand off to Alvin Kamara. But the entire defense has already started to shift down to the opposite side, and then Alvin Kamara was able to break right up the middle with some great blocking and a fantastic block by Ryan Ramczyk, as well as Cesar Ruiz, who came off and sealed along the inside as well. Latavius Murray had 12 rushes for 74 yards, also added 3 catches for 24 yards. Marquez Callaway returned to help in the receiving game. He caught Breeze's first pass of the game, but also led the way as a blocker many times as well. And then AK's 6 touchdown game also accompanies a game in which the offense had a 300-yard passer, 2 80-plus yard receivers, and another 70-plus yard rusher. I would say that they were multiple, and it certainly helped them out a ton in this game. Now, I know that we broke this down a ton today. This is just a very fun game to talk about, but there's still so much more to look at. EPA, DVOA, offensive line play, coverage, receiver separation, amongst much, much more. We'll hit all of that on our Analytics Tuesday episode tomorrow. A couple of notes for you before we wrap up. The NFL has indeed voted to add and extend to a 17-game season starting next year, I believe. The Saints' 2021 opponent sans that 17-game opponent are settled. So we'll dive into more of that later on this week and look at the Saints' 2021 opponents coming up for their next season. And then we'll figure out what that 17th game may actually look like. The Saints also claimed former Green Bay Packers and Buffalo Bills wide receiver Jake Kumerow off of waivers. He is now on the active roster, big 6'4" blocker, but also a pretty good receiving threat as well when he can be healthy. He was waived by the Bills last week with the expectation of John Brown, who will return to the roster. Jake Kumerow did catch a 21-yard touchdown in week 14 for the Bills against the Denver Broncos. Sunday's matchup with the Carolina Panthers has been flexed to 3:25 p.m. Central Time. The NFL usually flexes these games around this time so that if there are games that rely on one another for playoff seating, they try to put them all in the same time slot to avoid starters being sat because got to sell the product. So you have that to look forward to. The Saints will have only played 4 noon games this season with this flex. And then lastly, I just want to say rest in peace to my very good friend, Barry Hirsius. He covered the Saints over at Big Easy Magazine, as well as Saints News Network, one of the kindest people that I've ever had the great pleasure of knowing. And one of the just biggest reasons, honestly, that you're hearing my voice on this podcast right now. He was instrumental in encouraging me to, you know, get into media and get into Saints media, continue to write, continue to podcast, all of that. He was a lifelong Saints fan, loved the team with all of his heart, and we love him with all of ours. I owe a lot to him, and I'm going to miss him tremendously, though I am very happy that he's at least resting. Thank you for everything, Barry. All right, I will be back tomorrow. I love y'all. Please keep safe. And as always, thank you very much for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust 2.Nation. I'll holla at you.